I used to watch Mike's fights and just be like, oh man, he is the
I used to watch you on the Source Awards. I used to watch you fighting with fucking Eminem. Remember y'all was fighting and shit? That shit
we gotta get into all that, brother. So you
fighting with the fucking
I be watching these podcasts. I be, man, listen, Mike's, man, listen, man, I love Mike, man, for real.
Legend, man. Hell yeah.
All right, let's bring it in.
You want me to bring her in, Mike?
Go for it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Eben Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson.
Mike, we got a great guest today.
Awesome
brother.
Guest and a friend, too. This is going to be some hell of fun.
None other
interviewing
than the one and only Benzino.
Man, what's up, Boston's man. Own, brother? What's man, up, man?
Man, champ. Man, it's a pleasure, honor. This is, you know what I'm saying, one of my idols right here. Honestly, and I ain't been the same since you, you know, since you retired, honestly, to be honest.
This is your day today, man. What is it like? Listen, this is what I was tripping about when I said you was coming over, because I was just not long ago looking at some YouTube shit about Whitey Bulger, right?
Man,
wow.
And so I'm saying to myself, what kind of motherfucker is this? You know, you look, everybody looks up to him. He's the hell of a nigga. He's the baddest motherfucker in Boston. There's never been a ferocious, savage gangster like him before. And he done told on everybody. He done told on the mob for the cops to get rid of the mob for you to take over their business. He was amazing. Yep. Listen, no gangster's ever done that. Played both sides of the law. It's never been done in the history.
And,
of,
I mean, and the crazy thing,
when they found him
with 30 guns in his wall.
Imagine having to live like that your whole life.
You're just terrified.
With your woman and stuff, living like that.
Yeah, that's, man, that was, I mean, they made like 2-3 movies about him.
Yeah, The Departed was one,
The Departed,
right?
Jack Nicholson played him, and then Johnny Depp played him.
Yeah, and Johnny Depp, imagine that was that. A good one.
What movie was that?
Black Mass.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember.
My father had a run-in with Whitey.
I know,
Bulger.
Him and your father too didn't go well, huh?
Yeah. My dad had a run-in with him. I just remember the story he told me, was that it was him and his friend Jimmy, God rest Jimmy, and Jimmy was like a bank robber. Uh-huh. You know? And I guess him and Jimmy, I don't know if it was over a woman or whatever, but they had some problems, and they was in Southie, and I think they went to Whitey's, you know, the pool hall where Whitey was at, and I just remember my father saying that when they got in there, they had locked the door behind them. But he said that at the time, it was like 3 guys in there, he said Jimmy had bluffed like he had something. And he was like, listen, anybody move, I'm going to give Whitey one in the head, so you unlock that door. And my father said that when they unlocked the door, they just took off, got in the car, and they were shooting, man, shot up the car, but they got up out of it. But that was the story with Whitey Bulger.
Wow. Man, crazy life, man.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, man, my father, man. Big up to Schnapps, man. My father.
Schnapps.
My hero, you know what I'm saying? No doubt.
Wow, man. Yeah. Growing up in Boston,
Man.
What was that like?
Well, you know, again, I was my father's son, so my father had a pretty, you know, solid reputation in Boston. You know what I'm saying? He dealt with some real solid guys up there, and I got to see that life at an early age. And, I mean, you know, I would go visit him in the feds, and, you know, he'd give me little notes, and I'd be taking the notes to other fed joints and passing them off. And, I mean, I was, you know what I'm saying? I was young, you know, and he'd have me doing little things out there. So it was like I got kind of exposed to life at an early age, and, you know, Boston, what I realized was, I mean, it was segregated, you know, like with Whitey Bulger.
Is it still segregated pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much, man. I mean, you know, where Whitey was from is South Boston, and South Boston's pretty predominantly Irish. Mm. And then, like, the North End was predominantly Italian. Yeah. And then, you know, we're in Roxbury and Dorchester and Mattapan, we're in the hood, but, you know, it's you know,
Boston. 100 years ago, Roxbury was all Irish.
Right.
Roxbury.
I mean, almost the whole Boston, you know.
John L. Sullivan came from Roxbury, Massachusetts, first heavyweight champion.
Wow. Do you know where the term the paddy wagon came from?
Yeah, from cops, right?
It was for Irish. It was for the Irish. They was calling the cops
paddy
would call
whackers.
They would call them the paddies. So there was for them.
But they were paddy whackers.
Paddy whackers.
Wow.
Yeah, man, Boston is a trip, though, you know, because,
yeah,
I mean, growing up, as far as, you know, people of color, it's, you know, I mean, you really couldn't do too much.
Tremendously. Yeah. Difficult for you.
Racist. Bussing. I remember a lot of times you see.
I always seen on television in Boston when they was busting Roxbury people into the white area. I see it on television. Oh,
yeah. You could pull it up on YouTube. See, a lot of times when you pull up that stuff, you see
Roxbury
the black and white.
In the 60s or 50s, right?
No, 70s.
70s?
Wow. 70s. That shit was in color. Yeah. See, that's the whole crazy shit about it, that it was in color. Like
they were savages. You think these are human beings lost their humanity.
I know. I've seen these. I've seen this.
Savages.
Bro, you would get on a bus and you know, and you would go into these neighborhoods and they would be little young white kids like this throwing rocks at the bus.
Fuck you, monkey motherfucker!
Like this, like 5 years old, man.
It's so wild because you don't think of, you know, a city like Boston as having that history.
Well, they hide it.
Right.
They hide it.
Boston's one of the most segregated. Boston's an interesting city. I love Boston, though.
I love Boston. It's complicated. It's a complicated city.
Tough.
You can't help but to love it, and you can't help but love the... what the people really stand for, black, white, whatever. Right. The Boston people.
They're hard.
Tough people.
Yeah. Hard, tough people, yeah.
And if they're with you, they die for you and kill for you.
That's real shit.
Yeah.
You know? But they just don't fuck around.
Nah, he's right.
They got one chance to fuck with them.
And another thing is like, shit, like, even though Boston might have been racist, like, I didn't grow up hating white people.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's what's so crazy because, you know, again, my father, you know, I met some real heavy Italians and different men, you know what I'm saying, that were, you know, so I was... you want it to be a same playing field for black, white, and everybody. So you see where it's not the same playing field. But it doesn't make you racist. Like, you know what I'm saying? Throughout my whole life, I've always been hooked up somehow. Like, you know, even with Dave Mays from The Source, you know, he's a Jewish kid, man. And was with him all my life, you know what
so
I mean?
So how did you get connected to him? Because he was a Harvard kid, right?
That's how. He was going to Harvard. I was in a group, you know, gang banging, doing my thing, and we had a group called the Almighty RSO, and we was wild as fuck.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler from Boston.
Brockton. He's like about a good half hour away. Marvin
the marvelous
Hagler.
One.
Rocky Marciano.
Yeah, Marciano's from Brockton, too.
Same thing. Yeah, Marciano.
Tough town, man.
Yeah, man. Tough town.
Brockton Blockbuster.
Brockton, yeah. Brockton, yeah. Yeah, there's a few champions in Brockton. Yeah. There's a lot of boxing.
So was that your introduction?
Yeah, light, Mike.
Yeah, man.
Look at that.
The lighters,
light, Mike. This is crazy.
The lighters evaporate.
I'm just crazy as hell. Here I am doing. I used to watch Mike's fights and just be like, "Oh man, he is the."
I used to watch you on the Source Awards performing.
Yo, he was like,
I used to watch you fighting with fucking Eminem, nigga.
Man, yeah. Oh, man.
Remember y'all was fighting and shit. That shit.
Yeah, we gotta
crazy.
Get into all that, brother. So you
fighting with the fucking.
I be watching these podcasts. I be, man, but listen, Mike's, man, listen, man, I love Mike, man, for real, man.
He's
Mike, you don't understand how, like, for real, like, you don't understand, like, you're like, you probably know, but, man, dudes from the hood, if there was no Mike Tyson, I don't know how dudes from the hood would really get that motivation, man, because you've motivated so many guys just to be something, to watch how you just went about your business. You didn't talk too much, man. You wasn't with all that. Rah rah! You just go up in there, and I know, you know what I'm saying. I don't think I've ever seen anybody with a more lethal uppercut. Like you could just be right here. Like punch don't even got to come from here; just here. And
I was just a young kid,
3 inches, and just
I just wanted to do well. You know, I wanted to make my mentor real happy. I was one of those guys that my mentor adopted me, and my whole purpose was just to make him happy.
Man,
and made him happy was knocking people out, and that's what I wanted
to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The quickest I can too.
He looked like a great. You know, honestly, he looked like a great. From the documentaries and everything, like Cuz the Model looked like a great man. You know,
he was incredible.
His wife.
He was incredible. He was. He has had so many morals. His morals to a flaw. Mm-hmm. You know,
man.
We got the painting of him, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Somebody who loves this artist who loves
Sits
the podcast
right behind him.
Yeah, bro,
that's big, man. No,
sick,
that's big.
Right? Amazing.
I've been to the Catskills. I actually recorded. I recorded some music up in the Catskills.
Yeah,
went up there.
The Boston's not far from the Catskills. Really.
Not too far at all. You just go straight 90.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You know, we got some strippers from Sue's Rendezvous. We shot a video up there.
So we used to go to Holyoke, Massachusetts, and box when we were kids. We used to go to Springfield, Massachusetts.
Wow, Springfield.
And for the regionals, and then if you win the regionals, you go to Boston to fight for the finals. And then I won the Boston Golden Gloves and stuff.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I won the Boston Golden Gloves.
I didn't know that.
When I first started in the amateurs, you know, I had to get knocked out to learn too. It happens to everybody. If you make that mistake, I don't care if you're the strongest man in the world, if you make that mistake.
But you never got knocked out the way you knocked knocked out people.
No, no. A knockout's a knockout. You know, you made a mistake and you got and it cost you. That's what it's all about. Not about being knocked out.
Right.
You made that mistake and it cost you.
Man.
What was...
Some cost more than others because, man, boy.
Yeah. What was a knockout that you really remember, Mike, when you got knocked out?
When you got knocked out.
Man, I got knocked shit all of them. You know, really? All of them, yeah. Well, I was never unconscious and stuff.
Yeah, no.
I remember all of them, yeah.
What would happen? You just stars and then you pop up?
This is interesting. You never know what happens, going to happen. Some guys, they're boxing, right? Boom. Boom. And they're knocked out. They're knocked out.
Yeah, they're out.
But they fight. They're
wow,
knocked
really?
Out. He's knocked out.
Yeah.
The guy blows, go for it. Knocked out. This guy hit with a boom. And that's just he's out. But you have to fucking react.
It's like a chicken. After you chop off the head, they still run around.
Yeah.
That same, it's the nerves.
The guy boom, 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 boom.
It's like he's sleeping, but his body, nerves and his
the nerves
is
still
going.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. Exactly.
Some guys are still fighting. They don't even know where they're at.
They're just all nervous system.
Have you ever been worried or scared when you knock somebody out? Like, damn, like, is he all right? Like, have
they
you ever
killed that guy?
Like, yeah.
Sometimes when you hit a guy and you don't feel it.
Yeah.
Like you missed him. And you, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's bad one.
Yeah.
That was a bad. That's just clean. It's right through. Boom. Out cold. Snoring. Sometimes they snore.
They snore.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Man.
Put them to sleep.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, their hands lock up.
Sometimes you hit a guy and he's conscious. Everything's cool with him. He's not hurt, but his legs are old. He can't stop his legs.
I've seen that a few times.
He's cool. Everything's good. Oh, he's like, fuck. Oh,
he's doing the Macarena.
Yeah, he's doing the dance. He's
doing,
he can't stop.
Doing the Macarena.
He's doing the fuck. He's like, fuck. The legs can't hold up. He's like, fuck.
Yeah,
not the Macarena. What's the machata?
You still know, because the body's not meant. This is what human beings do. Our hands are not meant for hitting. That's why they always break. Our body's not meant to be beat on.
Right.
That's why it's so easy for us to be brain damaged, detached retina and stuff, because our body's not made for that stuff.
Right.
It's amazing that some of our parts stay together the way we get hit, like football and stuff, that we still have our jawbone and stuff stays in
our fucking jaw.
It's
a miracle.
It's unbelievable that our jawbone stays in our fucking jaw. It's just a little fucking thin fucking piece that keeps it together. I can't believe it's not gone when somebody hit it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Did you have a doctor that you always worked with?
Yes. Always a doctor in my corner. Keep a doctor in my corner for my cuts, anything. Always try the best to have the best health as possible. Because this is a funny business. You see a guy get beat to hell all his life for 20 years, get bashed all his life. Every fight is a bash. And then he's really articulate and talking well 20 years later. And then you get a guy that got hit one fight, maybe a guy hit two or three good times, and he's talking funny forever.
Dementia.
Got you.
You know, it's just you don't know how these people work. You don't know how life is. You don't know how people are structured, how their soul is structured, their body is structured. We're all different.
Yeah.
And that's what's strange.
Yeah, that's really real.
Strange.
In every way. Some of us, from, let's say, a million years ago, some of us are descendants from hybrid species from mating with mongoloids and some other body, and that's how we form and stuff.
Right,
you know?
Got you.
And we're built differently. They were structured differently. So I guess we're deformly structured, even though we think we look perfect, you know?
Who out of anybody that you hit kept hitting was like, damn, he ain't went down after I hit him like,
yeah.
Ooh.
What was
like,
your hardest?
Fight?
God, look, fucking Ray the Rudder, Holyfield, shit. Jesse Ferguson, man, God, you gotta fuck. What you got? You gotta shoot these motherfuckers, man.
So who's the one that you hit was like, God damn, he ain't went down yet.
Fucking Holyfield.
Holyfield,
yeah. Yeah, he's a fucking monster.
So is that not everybody can take the same punch too? Is that different? Is that all different? It's not like, or is it like if you hit somebody in that same spot everywhere, they're all going down?
No, listen, human beings and human spirits are amazing, right? If you just look, if you're fighting with a guy and we're in this fight and you're fuck this motherfucker, I know he's great, but fuck, we're gonna fight. So he's hitting you with some good shots, but you just resisting because you're in your mind, because you set your mind, this is what it's gonna be.
Right.
We're gonna fight. I ain't going down from his first pound. I'm gonna fuck it, it's Mike Tyson, and we're fighting. You know what I mean? And he's anticipating these punches. He's anticipating these hard punches hitting
right,
him.
Right.
It's in his mind, so they hit him. Boom. It's not as hard as he thought they were. I was right. So he's fighting back.
Right.
And then he gets hit with a punch that he doesn't see. Boom. He's out cold. It's all about not seeing the punch. Tricking the guy where he don't see the punch. Like, you go, boom, and you hit him with that punch. Anybody can take a punch. Oh, yeah, you tough? Boom. If he see it coming, boom, he could take it. Boom, he could take it. It's all about having fake this one, boom, and hit him that way. It's all about tricking him.
Who tactically did you watch coming up? Tactically, like
Roberto Duran.
Duran. Yeah, man. My
Sugar Ray Leonard.
My father Marvin loved Duran.
Fuck.
Yeah. Tactically. Shit.
But yeah, Duran's mean motherfucker tactically. Yeah, his tactic game is a motherfucker. Yes, beautiful. It's the hair. His hair stop moving. He shakes his hair. The face. He boom. His hair move. Put in your face. Boom, boom. He hits you. Oh, he's a master dancer. It's in his prime. It's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Huh. Chavez went 90 undefeated.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's imagine if he retired then.
Right.
It's crazy.
Imagine if he retired at 60 fights. Right. Undefeated. He had 90. How can anybody even really? I don't know, our egos get big when we come down to reality and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, wow, what he did is amazing. Yeah. Incredible. I'll never see it again in my life.
Right.
You'll never see it. I won't see it again in my life.
90. Yeah. Alexis Arguello had like 100-something wins,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but not straight
fighters.
Right.
This thing had 90 straight wins.
Yeah, I mean, they don't do that anymore.
No, I won't see it in my life. You won't see it in my life. You listen, they don't
That's
do
incredible.
That anymore.
He doesn't get the credit for that, either.
They don't do that no more. He fought anybody, named him, anybody.
He was a problem, man.
Anybody.
He was a problem.
Maybe they could do that in AI.
Excuse me?
Maybe they could do that with the artificial intelligence.
Oh, Chavez fight Duran?
Yeah.
But listen, peep game, right? Imagine how advanced we were when we didn't have a telephone, cell phone, and we had to remember all the numbers in our head. Remember?
And remember how to
remember
get somewhere.
Remember all the numbers we had in our head?
Yeah.
We had all to get those lost. Numbers. Remember how we found places? Yeah. We didn't ask directions. We just got lost.
Found
and
it.
We found places.
Found
remember
the
that?
Shit.
Man. We get lost. And say,
on instinct.
What the fuck is that? Yeah. I've been here before.
You got to do that in case you get locked up because you ain't going to have your phone. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of times you get locked up now, you don't know nobody's number. Who are you going to call? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but listen, it just works out. Even if you're in prison, things work out for the best. Even when you think it's your worst, next thing you know, I'm out of my cell. How did I get out of my cell? Yes, from crazy. Somebody might say, hey, you need this telephone call. You need to go to your social worker. You know, it's not as bad as we all think it is. And then when it does get bad, God prepares us in the handling anything. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Man, the champ.
It's all about not giving up in life. You know, sometimes things are bad, but sometimes we just got to endure shit.
Yeah.
You ever going to run for office?
Never, nigga. I got too many fucking cases and
my motherfuckers would vote for you in a heartbeat, yo.
I know.
Fucking
he definitely win the popular
fuck
vote.
Fuck that, man.
There's no doubt about it.
Any electoral shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what is Boston about now? What's happening out there?
I mean, Boston's
new people, huh? You know, people you never saw before.
But
huh?
The problem with Boston is like the powers that be kind of suppress the culture. So this, you know, they don't. You know what I mean? This not.
They
it's not like
strictly,
it used to be.
Strictly white town.
Yeah, man. You can't really. But you got to be sports up there when it comes to hip hop. See, I had to get up out. I had a hard time up there. You know, if I would have stayed up there, I would have did 100 years or got killed either.
Oh, isn't that horrible?
It was no question, man. Like it was just, but it's hard being in a big city and, you know, everybody knows you and everybody, you know what I'm saying? Because, look, it's not that hard for the police just to watch you and, you know what I'm saying, and try to mess with you. And that's what was happening with me. You know, we had a rap group, but we was in the streets and the police gang force. I'm talking, we was on Tommy Boy Records and
Yeah, did you know God?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you knew him?
Yeah.
Well, that nigga.
You did
like,
no business
remember,
with God.
Yeah, I remember God from New York. God was from New York.
Business. You know that movie? You know
I
the
don't
movie,
think
right?
I met God, but I remember my friends knew God.
You know the movie that they made God. That they made about him, right? That was In Too Deep.
LL.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah, that was about God.
But they didn't shoot that in Boston, though. They shot it in, like, Ohio. So that's what I'm saying. Like, they don't let, you know. Like that could have been cool for Boston for the people, you know, get some, you know, some roles and everything, but everything gets taken out.
This guy from New York went up there and he had the mentally egotistical guy and said, God, my name is God.
He went up there, took over a project
G-O-D.
And started doing his thing. Yeah.
God. My name is God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He wrote a book. He wrote a book.
Ego. Fuck, nigga, that ego is a motherfucker. My name is God.
There was another dude named God in Tucson who owned a bar called the Meat Rack.
Tell me, what was that about?
It was a fucking crazy bar in Tucson. They had a sex room in the back.
Listen.
He had he would give people a fucking brand his face on people's asses for lifetime 50 cent drinks, 50 cent beers.
I always went to that trip. I want to be God. Then I took that fucking toad and I realized God is inconceivable. We can't even fathom being God.
I know.
God won't even speak to us. He won't even hear our calls. God don't even need us. Matter of fact, if all of us died, God would be happy because the world would flourish. You know?
That's deep.
We kill the world. You know, we got a fucking gas tank. We drink for our fucking oils. We kill the fucking ice caps over there.
I seen them same things that go like this coming up the hills. Where's that? When we popped there.
Over La Cienega.
Was it Ladera Heights?
Yes.
Man, there can't be no more oil in the motherfucker over there, man. Why don't they get them shits up out of there? What the fuck is coming out of that motherfucker?
The earth produces it. It's like taking the shit and pissing. It comes out of the earth.
That shit look dry over there.
I'm sure they're still getting something out of that, dude.
Man.
You would not believe some of the stories.
Let's be honest, man. This is, we don't know. When it first hit oil and it gathers up and it stands, how do we know if it's dried out or not? We don't know if it's dried out.
Man, it just looks like nothing comes from it. I mean, it just the area just.
They
like,
listen. They wouldn't be there if they weren't getting no money. They gotta be. There. So? They wouldn't be there. These people are not stupid. They're not gonna be there if they're not getting no money.
Yeah.
Wasting manpower, wasting energy. They don't want to waste money. They want to make money.
Yeah.
Man, boy, I need to give you one of them things.
Refinery right across the street.
I seen that. I seen a lot Chevron of employees. I seen that.
I'm telling you, I'm letting them.
Yeah. Running the big source. Time. What was this like?
I loved that when y'all did that. Y'all guys put me on the cover when I came home, too.
That's so dope.
Serious cover.
Yeah, look.
Great cover.
The rebirth of Mike Tyson.
Come on, man.
Wow, dude.
You had got out. You had, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was how you.
I'm not good. I'm not bad. I'm just trying to survive in this world, baby. It's tough out in this motherfucker. Good,
look at that. Huh?
Amazing.
Source, baby, before the internet.
Yeah, ain't that some bullshit?
Yeah.
Before the internet.
What is the source now? Is it still a mag?
It's still out there. It has new owners, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it'll never have the.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just the time, man. That was, you know, for us, that was like the Wolf of Wall Street meets. I mean, I was just like, you know, like Mike said, like I was just, you know, like I was a street nigga who just, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know about all that money, man. It was so much money coming in and. I was doing amazing shit. Like, that's it was crazy. Out of control, man. I was out of control.
You were young.
Man. Yeah, I ran through millions, man. I was
20s?
In the 20s, and then, you know, shit. You know, I brought my whole team with me. So I used to be at the Beverly Hills Hotel in that bungalow in the back. I didn't want to leave.
Wow.
I would stay there for months, run up a couple $100,000 bills, man. I mean, it was, you know, like he said, a lot of women, a lot of drugs, a lot of crazy shit, man. But it was, you know.
Listen, nigga, that's the way it was. Yeah. Listen, what's this guy, Scott Coker?
Coker,
right? He's
the Bellator guy?
Yeah, so we're in K1 at the time. So this guy takes me and he fucking, he puts me up in the hotel on Wilshire Boulevard. What's that, the Beverly Wilshire?
Uh-huh.
Right, because she's from Rodeo?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm up there for like a year and a half. I'm up there like a year and a half, right?
Whoa,
I don't know
bro.
What, I got the
couple
big
million
fucking
dollar
suite.
Bill, yo.
I'm ordering food, I'm walking downstairs in my underwear and my
sick.
Robe.
Bathrobe,
and
yeah.
And then I'm crossing the street where the cars are parked to get in the other hotel to get there where I can eat my food, Mr. Tyson, how are you doing? And how are you doing, Mr. Tyson?
That's
and
fucking
I mean, I got
sick.
Fucking robe. I'm fucked up. This guy's
fucking
paying all
balling.
This money. Because now I got to go to Thailand with him. Now I got to go here. I said, well, here's fucking, I'm on a drug. I'm on a cocaine bin like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Shit.
You know.
I'm living the fucking life.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
I'm living the fucking life. Yeah. Imagine getting to heaven, all the cocaine you want, and you got all the money you want. You almost feel like you're going to die and go to heaven. Fuck! Oh, shit.
That's insane.
I've been there, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like real talk, man. Like, it was
That's
a fucking
insane.
Trip.
Fuck.
Man.
Life, I'm dying.
Yeah.
What a fucking trip, dude.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Shit.
I remember one time I was at the Beverly Hills, and you know, and I remember I was with Ja Rule. I think I was opening up for him or something or whatever, so a couple of beans. And I never really took ecstasy like that and shit, so I grab one. This ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying?
That's what
I did. So I'm calling over a girl, you know what I'm saying, to come on over. So I took another one. I must have took like, I was like, I don't feel shit. So I called. I'm like, yo, this shit is whack. You know what I'm saying?
No.
This ain't nothing. I said, I'm getting ready. Then so I took like about six of them. So
oh no!
So look right. I started going crazy. Then I couldn't. My fucking jaw couldn't like. So then right, all of a sudden I couldn't move. So I was in the bed and I couldn't get to the phone. So I'm trying to get to the phone. I'm like, oh fuck! I'm getting scared at this point, right? So I get the cord of the phone. I'm in the Beverly Hills fucking the bungalow and shit. So I get the cord and I pull it over and I'm trying to dial this shit, man. It took me like a half an hour. I finally get it. And I remember BJ and so I was like, yo, y'all gotta come here. I said, I'm a dog. I couldn't. They came out. I just remember them quitting. They just went and got a whole bunch of cold towels and shit and put them on me in the bed and shit. So like 3 days, I'll never do that shit again. Like, wow. You know, Coke, I sniff Coke, where just like he said, Coke. See, with Coke, you think you gotta fuck. I'm getting ready. But the more you take
your
it, the more you ain't
up.
Fucking. Like,
your mind
you're right there. Like,
I need
in your
to
mind, you ain't
to
beat shit down. But the more coke you
I'm
take,
hell no. Do this to the
your
pussy.
Dick is like, no.
Like, fuck, get me away
no.
from that pussy. The dick is like, get me away. Get
the
me
girls
away.
Is like, yo, there's only so much. I want some dick. Like,
and I'm like, there's only one man. Don't go nowhere. Chill the fuck out. Just wait. It's going to be all right.
It's all right, though. That's life.
It's all good.
Life is good, and you learn.
You learn.
With me.
You'll never do ecstasy again.
I mean, just in general with the whole drug culture, like when I grew up, you know, I'll be 54 in July. When I grew up, you know what I'm saying? It was everything. Every drug that came on the block, what's this? We trying this. Heroin, we sniffing heroin. What's crack? What's this new shit? Black Beauties, Quaaludes. I mean, that's what it was back then. It was like you selling them and then it's like, oh, let's try it. Most drugs ain't for everybody. So like you pick and choose your poison. You know what I'm saying? So, but at the end of the day, you know, drugs ravaged our communities. We get it.
Yeah.
But it's like it's something that we have to deal with, like in our culture. And, you know, with drugs, just like with money and everything else, like I was oblivious to this shit. Once we had the source and all this money, everything was coming fast. And I just was like, fuck it. I thought this was, like I said, it was like Wolf of Wall Street. Like,
well, it's an interesting.
This shit's never going to end.
It's an interesting thing that Mike's brought up, you know, since the beginning of time. There has been the phenomenon of human beings taking substances to try to feel some certain way, you know? And so, you know, it's just continued and perpetuated.
A lot of sexual,
so,
because it's not, I mean, you have people who do drugs who just do drugs. And
absolutely.
I see people who do drugs and just actually can just function. See,
yeah.
It's hard. I think absolute, the drug thing is what a sexual thing comes in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with some
I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean, for sure.
You know,
absolutely.
You know why I was told, the reason why when you, when we get high, like heroin and cocaine, when we get high, we want to fuck. You know why? Because our brain tells us we're dying and we have to mate.
That's interesting.
That's why when we use the coke.
Is that
say that again? I want to make sure I heard.
Is there research? Do you know that? Or is that your theory?
No.
That we're getting ready to die, so we want to mate? Or we
no,
wanna
it makes
get,
sense.
Or we want to mate or get a nut?
No, we're getting ready to die, so we need to
spread our seed.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, we're just... We don't understand. We think we're driving the ship. We think that we're guiding our ship.
That we're doing.
We really think that we're doing it, but it's already designed. If it wasn't designed for us to be here, we'd be dead by now.
No, well, I'm saying
we think it's designed for us. We think that we're controlling me talking to you right now.
Right.
Me talking to him. I think that I'm smart and I'm telling you. Listen, this is just the moment. But yes,
this is
designed,
the play.
Yeah, I'm designed.
This is already
to say this.
The script was already.
It's already here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just think, like, see, what the sex thing is, I always thought, like, if we wasn't ever to have pleasure having sex, I think the world would be different. If pleasure and, you know what I mean, if the pleasure didn't come along with sex, then everything would be different.
Well, it's interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Because, listen, let me tell you, cause you know why? If a lion, if a tiger, because I mean, if a tiger doesn't, if he see the female tiger out of season, they're going to fight to the death.
You're gonna kill each other.
In season, they're gonna make love. But out of season, they fight to the death. You see the tiger.
They're not supposed to be around each other.
Keep no baby when he's hanged out alone. If he has a baby, if he see a baby,
he'll kill it.
Right.
I run this town. Nobody. I don't want to share with nobody. Not even my family.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
Wow.
I see that bitch outside of breeding season. She's dead. What you doing on my territory, ho?
It's interesting.
That's how a tiger thinks.
It's crazy.
Wow. That's
crazy,
yeah.
Well, human beings and dolphins, I think, are the only two species that experience pleasure with sex.
Really?
Get the fuck out of here.
That's some truth, dog.
Monkey has to. There has to be a breed of monkey. The monkey is the one breed of monkey. Because there's one breed of monkey. Every other monkey.
Nah, I seen some dogs and they were smiling when they was humping them.
I know.
I
it
see
always
some dogs
looks
actually smile. Real
absolutely
talk. When they was
absolutely
fucking,
I've
like,
seen
smile,
that.
Big ass
seen
smile
that
on
myself.
Them.
I've seen
dogs
that myself.
Have pleasure.
Listen, most,
listen, I've seen that myself.
What I'm trying to explain is that most animals is not species of animals. If not 99% of them. Have a certain season when they fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, right. Ants, but we have a certain season. Human beings, and I think it's one particular kind of monkey.
Yes.
That doesn't have a fucking
bonobos
season. Just fucking
wow.
Fuck. Hi.
Yeah.
I'm cold.
Right.
Just like human beings.
Yeah.
Have
right.
No reason to fucking
just
fuck.
Yeah, right. It's a particular right. Species.
Yeah.
And the females are very sexually oriented.
Yeah, we're the only species that does that. You know?
I mean, but it's hard now, though. You know, now, I mean, like, you know, it's just like. It's just everywhere now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, as far as, now I won't even say temptation, but as far as, like, the attraction of a female, attraction, sexual, we're more of a sexual world now than ever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just think, like, you know, it's something that we're still figuring out as a species, you know? As
well,
a species of humans, we're still trying to figure this sex thing out, I think. I think that's part of the,
well,
part
you
of our issue. Like, we still, as a civilization, haven't figured out this whole control of yourself and
oh,
sex,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
Like
oh yeah,
check
you know what
out,
I'm saying?
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Human beings and animals probably too. Had there anything sexual you could do with a human being and an animal? You can't imagine anything that hasn't been done to a human being and an animal sexually. So what's the next level of sex? It's probably not having sex.
Probably not having sex. It's to master yourself.
Have it,
to not have it. To master
it,
yourself.
Having emotionally between one another without having physical act.
Yeah, to master that. To master that strength of, you know, to see something more in a person, you know what I'm saying? Or something more, because sex just, man, especially being young, sex just, it just, you know, that's why women is, you know, so, you know, they be upset because they just looked at it, you just, you know, when you're looked upon as a sexual object all your life, you know what I'm saying? It's hard.
Yeah.
To communicate. So
no,
you know,
no, because people use that for their power too, so we can't look at it from that perspective. Everybody can use that to get money, they use it to
oh,
get
they definitely
attention.
Use it for their power.
You know what I mean? But how do we
shit,
use
they
it?
Use it for their power on me.
How do we
the
use
powers
it
fuck me,
in a perspective of where it's done, it's just no way to think about it.
Like you said, don't have sex. I think,
yeah.
Don't have sex. Like, of course you have sex, but just kind of like, kind of go deeper than the sex. You know what
yes.
I'm saying? Go deeper in a person than the sex.
Yeah. I mean, you just come to a place, I think, where you realize that the physical act of sex is, you know, unless it's with a person who you connect with on that emotional level, it's sort of a trivial experience in your life.
Right.
It's
you
really
know?
Something real complex,
right.
Too, because sex
it's
is
complex.
Something that doesn't have to be
it's
taught.
Complex.
You know to do it.
Yes. It's primal.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fantasy.
Not the lowest, but it's
a lot
the,
of fantasy. It's a lot of pre-thinking. It's a lot of you already. You know what I'm saying? It's not. It's more subconscious than it is actually having it because, you know, that's where porn comes in and that's where you know what I'm saying. Because
right.
you're thinking. You know what I'm saying? You know, you ever been with a chick and thought about someone else because she just, you know what I'm saying, thought about someone else. Like you ever did that?
No, I had sex with a girl, and I know whether I won or lost.
What you mean?
Like, I know, well, I can't handle her.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's crazy. Me, it's like, I don't want to call it a sexual addiction. You know, I want to call it that, but it's just like, you know, I just have an appreciation for beauty, so I see beauty in everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't have a type, like, because I'll see beauty in something. And nowadays, I just want a nice person at this point in my life. Like, I just was looking at, see, I made the mistake of looking at women as objects and try to think that, you know, that I'm going to really be able to find someone. You know, like, I was just fooling myself. You know, you can't look at women as objects and think you're going to be loved the proper way or give
right.
love the proper way. So, it's only, you know what I'm saying, it took me a while to realize this, man. You know what I'm saying, that it really is about, you know what I'm saying, it took me a while. And you could say, yeah, okay, of course, after all these years of, but, I mean, listen, you know what I'm saying, as long as you figure it out, because then I can pass it to my sons.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that it's not all about the sex. Like it, now that it hasn't been like that, you can really dig deep into somebody. Because with me, in looking at somebody, man, you want to fuck. You know what I'm saying? And then that becomes priority, and that takes over everything.
Yeah.
And then when they leave you, all you thinking of is, man, somebody's going to be fucking my pussy. You know what I'm saying? It's just everything revolves around the pussy. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know what I'm saying? So
I know what you're saying.
I had to check myself to really, like, if I'm ever going to really be in love or give the proper love to a proper woman, I have to not look at her as a sexual object.
Absolutely.
It's the only way. Yeah. It'll never work on any other way.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of men are dealing with that right now, you know. I think a lot of men have that struggle, you know, because, you know, it's culturally, it's just sort of been, we've been brainwashed into this, into these roles in our genders, you know, men and women, you know.
It's something in our relationships and our growth with one another. Because, you know, you think about when you first met her and you guys are making passionate love and you appear to be overwhelming and passionate. Oh, God damn, baby, don't, daddy, stop. And then eventually you're not the same. No, keep it coming. You don't do that no more. You know?
Have you ever had sex with a woman and just, okay, you know, you just met her and you had sex and you just, I love you.
Absolutely. 10 minutes. Just met her 20 minutes. I met somebody.
No doubt about it.
I met somebody 20 minutes. I've been with her for 6 years.
Yeah.
I met her for 20 minutes in my limo, and we hung out for 6 years.
Wow, dude.
I envy that too, man. I see y'all happy, and that's amazing.
Oh, but we've been through a lot. Yeah, we've been through a lot.
But y'all stuck together. That's beautiful.
There's been a lot of girls like that I've met. And we've been together for years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just on the first wing thing. Nobody introduced us to anything.
So let's just dissect that for a minute.
Yeah.
You meet a person, you're having sex with her, and you say, I love you to her while you're having sex. You look in her in the eyes. Okay? Now, to you, you're saying that from a place of the sex. To her, she's hearing that. She's like, whoa, it's affecting her different. So now... You understand what I'm saying?
No,
because women are more emotional.
From that perspective, you got to find out who they are first. But from who is she? What has she experienced? Has she been fucking wounded from a deserted father? Has she been molested by her uncle? Who is she when she hears that word? What do you know, where
it's
she
a
comes
deep word
from?
To her.
Where she comes from? Where do I come from when I say it? Well, who am I? What kind of guy am I?
Right?
My mother's a prostitute. My father's a pimp. So me saying that word could be game, or could it be my only real feeling of love?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I mean that.
But that's a lot. You see what he's saying? All those is what is it out of those? So you don't really know. Like, you know that's pleasure, and the pleasure feels so good, and you, I love you. You know what I'm saying? I fucking love you. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I love you. I will kill for you. I don't want nobody else to touch you, and you just having sex with her. So that just is like, man.
I said that in the car. Don't give nobody this fucking pussy no more. It's mine.
She was like, okay, Mike. It's okay, Mike.
Take her home. If you need this car, stay with you. That's just how it was. We street niggas, nigga. We get our women when we grind.
You don't want nobody else to have your pussy, man.
I understand that.
But you got to take that out your head now. See, now you can't do that, especially with social media. Because now that'll get you behind. See, my father taught me a few things, and that was one of them. He used to always say the penitentiaries and cemeteries are filled up because of women. He told me that years ago when I was a kid.
But you got to look at because of men, too. There's a lot of women doing a lot of time because of men. A lot of women getting cut up, got acid thrown in their face over some fucking men.
Yeah, it's true.
Women, listen, women do more shit for us than we could ever dream of doing for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know they've been, I got strung out a couple of times, and I know some people did more shit strung out than I could ever imagine doing for them, strung out.
Right, right.
You know, I got to just leave it. That's keeping it real. They do some really bizarre shit. Ooh, even some really nasty stuff somebody love.
Hey.
I don't fuck with women love. She says she love me, either I'm running or some stain. One or the other.
Has love changed from back in the day to now? Has love, the concept, the word, changed from back then? Because, you know, like, because we're around the same age. Like, so you know what love was as far as family, a girl, you know, all the different aspects of it. Is it the same love as it is now?
Yeah. And I learned this because love never changes. Hmm. The feeling of love, what makes us conjure the feelings once we hear that word. We don't know what that word is, but we know what the concept of what it means.
Right.
Why is it love? Why can't it be shit? Why can't it be pussy? Why does it have to be love? What does love mean?
Well, why? Why is it that? Why is it that?
I don't know. Why is it love?
Why is it that?
Why can it be lascivious? Why is it love?
Who got that? Why is it love?
Look and find out why is it love. Yeah. What is it? What's the essence of love? Put the essence of it. What is the essence of it?
Yeah. Yeah,
when people hear that word, it's almost life and death.
It causes life and death. It is love. Yeah.
The essence of true love is mutual trust and respect towards one another. Compassionate love is eternal, rare, and enduring. Love is kind, patient, and innocent. It never seeks revenge.
It's like a poem. We got to find a better definition than that. It got to be something more deeper than that.
Love is not an emotion.
Let's go deep with the Greek word of love.
Let's feel where love comes from. Like, where does it come from?
Love is a form of a sucker.
Lord knows, sucker for love, nigga. Rick James.
No, really.
What you mean, really, nigga?
Love is a form of love. Believe me. Being a sucker is a form of love.
Man.
Being a dick is a form of love. Yeah.
Man.
Well, the word love comes from the Middle English word, luf.
Love.
Derived from the Old English word lufu.
Lufu.
This is akin to Old High German luba, and another Old English word liof, which means dear. So, I mean, that is just a upsetting description of
the
arbitrary
meaning of
word.
All right, what is the original
That's a
meaning
good question.
Yeah, what is the original meaning of love? Because it's still kind of vague, yo.
Love is when you choose to be at your best. That's from the HuffPost. Fuck that. I don't mind that.
That's a millennial motherfucker you put
that
shit
That's super
up
millennial. I mean, I'm a millennial.
19-year-old motherfucker put that up there.
Okay, this is pretty good.
This is deep.
Love is also considered to be a virtue representing human kindness. Now that's,
it's the deepest human kindness.
Really?
I like that.
Really?
But think about this, Mike. Helen of Troy.
Yeah.
Wars fought over love.
Pussy.
Many wars.
Pussy. If Helen was involved, it was pussy. Cleopatra, pussy.
Wars have been, people have killed for love.
Brutus got killed over pussy. Listen, all of them pussy.
We also have to look at, see what he's saying? The perception of love.
Right.
We also have to think of the perception of love.
Right.
It's not necessarily love, but it's perception.
It was the pussy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's an obsession.
Listen, no, really, and I don't want people to get mad at me and fucking YouTube attack
Nobody
me.
Fuck
Listen,
that.
Listen, right?
No. Nobody.
No, be honest, you love your wife?
Yes.
Think about loving her without a pussy.
Deep. Shit, I'm about to, man.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That was deep. That was fucking deep.
I dreamed about my wife when I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Didn't meet her till I was 18.
Wow.
We didn't get together till I was 22, 23. And when I think about our relationship and all the shit we've been through, I fucked her up, man, during my time in the NFL.
I know what time that you know? Is.
I did a lot of damage, and it's a blessing that she's still here with me.
For you to say that's big. Yeah. Give me some.
And that's how I feel.
Thanks, brother.
And I feel that way. You know?
Yeah. I know you do. And hearing and seeing.
If my wife didn't have a pussy, I would still be with my wife.
Yeah. Because she's. Because
I'm being with a woman.
It's like a soul. It's like a soul contract for me. We are spiritually connected beyond this. Beyond this realm.
I believe that men have women women to assure us to make sure that we're men. We need women
Absolutely.
To make sure that we're men.
And that's, you know, another reason. Like, my wife is my perfect yin and yang, dude. You know, everything that I'm not good at, she's amazing at. She's an Amazon woman. You know, she's hard as fucking nails. But loves me. Does everything for me. Like you were saying, Mike, has
Very
done
fortunate.
More for me than I could ever dream of doing for her.
Very fortunate.
I know. And I see that and... You know, that's why
I'm
married.
And I got to be honest, right? If my wife did one thing of the tons of things I've done to her, I wouldn't be with her. Ain't that a motherfucker?
I know, brother.
My wife, I love my wife, but my wife did to me what I've done to her. I wouldn't love
right,
her.
But,
oh, I wouldn't.
Well,
be
then maybe that wouldn't be love then. So maybe love has to do with that. Maybe love has to understand all these things.
That's why I know my wife is the shit.
If it is a deeper connection, then they wouldn't go.
Yeah. I can't believe that that's why I have to.
Because she's not going to want to go.
No.
She's going to hold on to the very last, and then you got to hold on, too, to the very last.
You have to know what I learned? You have to learn, hey, nigga.
Man, y'all are lucky, man.
You got to forgive yourself.
Man, y'all making me feel bad over here, man.
No, brother. This is everybody's journey, man.
Man, because, boy, that's the type of love I would love. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, for real. Like, I've been searching for that. Well, you know what I'm saying? Real talk.
Listen, sometimes it's a motherfucker, too, dude.
Of course.
Sometimes you're just in there with the fire-breathing dragon.
No, but I've been through. It's just that I'm saying when you conquer that, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're always going to go through that. But once you, but if she still sticks with you throughout all that, that's the ultimate warrior shit right there, man.
Listen, I remember, you know, when I was hot doing my thing, it being I couldn't get turned down. I told her, girl, please just turn me down, baby. I want your number. Please say no. Please say no, okay? And I still get the number. I was just so arrogant and cocky and shit.
To be great at something, you got to have the right woman who can allow you to be great at that because it takes a lot of time and effort and everything.
Absolutely.
And if they, and now with social media, you know, they're going to want their social.
It's chaos.
It's chaos.
Oh, it's chaos.
See, I don't know. We don't know what is greatness. You know what greatness is? The definition of greatness has always been in my head.
Hmm.
Somebody that could do something that is so tremendously hard with the simplest of ease. Hmm. That's greatness.
Hmm. That doesn't have to practice for it.
No, you have to work for it.
Right.
Yeah. I do every fucking day, probably three times a day to get that fucking art down. But you do something that's so difficult with the fucking simplest
greatness.
Of these.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people get paid for. You knock a motherfucker out in how long? 3 seconds? What? Do it again. What? Again? Yeah, this is the motherfucker.
Nobody complained about that.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, people would complain, man, oh, we want to, you know, everybody couldn't wait to see him knock out. They want to, people want Mike to knock him out 10 seconds, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Paid all that money, knock him out 10 seconds, go home, just, you know what I'm saying, see that shit.
Just stoked.
Yeah, because for real, people don't understand. The people, like, those fights were really, like, I mean, a minute and less, and it's like, you know, minutes. So you're paying just for minutes. You know, every other sport, you're paying for, you know. Hour and a half.
And I know
Facebook.
You understand. Like after the fight, minutes. You get it off. You're in the fucking dressing room. Now you're fucking all cool, chill. Like you thought that fucking shit. Play
you didn't even break a sweat.
And you go play that shit on the television, nigga. You can play because the television's in the dressing room. Then rewind that shit, nigga.
You get the highlight going.
Rewind that knockout, nigga. I told you to get that, nigga. Don't look at that. You be talking shit in the dressing room. Look at that fight.
That's probably the best you feel. That whole time, right?
Yeah, but no, it's so weird. It's just weird. After it's all over now, you're another human being. You know, people are still cheering, but
yeah,
it's over. It's gone. Now we got.
That's to you, but in people's,
it lasts forever.
Forever.
Yeah, but
because it keeps happening.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? It just keeps happening. Every 3 months, you know what I'm saying? It goes another one. It just stays in your head.
So what? Like, well, you say you're 53, right? 54. 53.
I'll be 54 in July.
But listen, do you ever think to yourself, woman? Like we all think to ourselves. Sometimes I'm talking, I may be in this my fucking nice house and shit, looking at my fucking big screen, and I say to myself, whoa, I'm 50 fucking 3, this shit is almost over.
Nah.
You never said that?
Fuck no.
Fuck.
Hell no.
You ever say
no
that?
No way. No, yeah. I haven't. I really haven't.
Well, I said, whoa, this shit, I ain't gonna be another 54. What
no.
What's gonna happen?
When I got done playing in the NFL, I woke up one morning and I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
I'm 30.
What
the fuck happened?
Stop, man.
I felt like yesterday I was in high school.
Man. You were.
You're never going to die, man. Your mind, like, you'll never know it.
Well, physical death. I'm talking about from the physical world.
But even, you won't even know that. When you go, you're not going to know it.
No, that's the thing.
My mind is just here now.
They say it's like when you're coming, you don't
that's
know
a great way to
in,
be,
you don't
bro.
Know when you're going.
No, because I've been through so much.
I mean, that's
man.
A great way to
I've been
be.
Through so
that's
much.
How you want to live.
A lot.
When, that's
my
when
mind
you're
is
living.
Like today.
When you're just in the moment.
I swear to God, I don't worry about tomorrow, good or bad.
Yeah.
I just deal with today because a lot comes with today.
Yeah.
Bills, issues, kids, situations, this, that, the third, women. Today is what you want to deal with. And then tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? And then you want to keep trying to build. Like, I can't. If you start thinking like that, And damn, then that over does set in. Like, that over shit, and believe it or not, you start getting old. I believe the more you start thinking about old and all that shit, the more you be old. You know?
Yeah.
As long as you can live within your means. Just don't go, just within your means. You know, you don't have to go without your means. I think my mistakes was just not just living past my means, but just trying to bring everybody, just give everybody. But living past your means, you know, you don't need a big 70 million acre house, and it's three of y'all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, real, like real talk. Like,
yeah,
because you're not even going to be in the rooms half the time. So you're gonna have a house where you're not even going to be in the rooms. So it's like you really just got to just, you know what I'm saying, okay, I just have money, you know what I'm saying, put away, just make sure bills are paid, and just understand that whatever you got going that's bringing in money, you know what I'm saying, make sure that that's going, because if that stops, you got to have something put away to keep you going if you're used to a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
See, with me, it's just funny with me, man, because I've had millions and I've had nothing and I've had street money. And I just never felt it. Like, I've never felt different. I've never felt like, I just would spend it. And then I just never felt different from money. I've had money, didn't have money. It's just it's the hustle with me. See, I'm just a hustler. So no matter what, I'm going to keep hustling. And I realized growing up, you know, you got to be a people person. And you can't be mean mugging. You can't be. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I had to grow up and I had to realize that a lot of shit I was doing back then, like, if I'm going to be in this business, that's not the way to be. And you got to check yourself. You got to change yourself in the way you fucking, be, because you're going to be with people who don't know that type of behavior. And it's going to close doors. So, man, I learned a lot. So now, you know, I'm in a great space to where I figured it all out. You know what I'm saying?
I hope so. I wonder, what's going to happen to my family? Cause I'm saying, we're coming back from, you know.
You're going to be straight, Mike.
I said, wow, I want to stay the way it is. You know?
You're doing great things, man. And it's dope. Like,
well, that's
like, she's
up to
involved.
You,
like, you got to invest.
She's involved with everything. Like, when
that's
I did
amazing,
the toll,
man.
I did
she's
toll,
a beast,
she did the toll.
That's awesome. Amazing, man. Like,
so you're not hip to the toll yet, huh?
Nah.
Well, the toll. The toll to him?
The toad is ancient medicine. It's 5-MeO-DMT. You smoke it.
I've heard of that.
You have an ego death.
It goes to the pineal gland and all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know more than, fuck yeah.
No, I watched the Doors.
Oh, yeah.
The movie
with Val Kilmer?
They did some of that shit?
He was doing all that. It makes you look
Jim
through
Morrison
a whole another dimension,
Jim.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to try that. I do.
Yeah.
Oh,
I want to try that.
Shit.
Yeah, I want to try it. I want, but I got to be around people that do. So next time y'all do it, y'all
it's
let me know.
Setting.
And just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely,
yeah,
man.
I do want to go to, you know, I've also seen it on TV a couple of times, but it takes you to a different dimension. And I need to go there. I got some things I need to see.
For sure.
Only last for, imagine if that feeling lasts for like an hour. Imagine being in that dimension for an hour, your spirit, your
Well, that's time traveling. I was going to say that's time
traveling.
That's time traveling.
Yeah.
Listen, in 20 minutes, you get 100,000 years of experience in 15 minutes coming at you fast. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I got, yeah, I want to, I need to feel that. I need to feel, I like, you know, I'm the type of person that could take that in.
You might go, whoa! Shit!
Nah. I'm gonna, you know what I'm saying? I need to see some shit like that.
I think you'd have a good time.
I'd have a good time. What did you see when you did it?
I haven't done the toad, but I've done DMT.
You ain't done the toad.
I've done the step below it. So there's DMT and then there's 5-MeO-DMT.
Yeah, well, I want to do the DMT. I want to do like you do. I want to go.
You want the riverboat ride rather than the spaceship?
Let me work my way
yeah,
in.
The
you know,
toad
in case.
Is the spaceship. You just get on the fucking spaceship and blast off.
Let me do the first
because I got to pull the
tape.
Pull the phone again and be talking like, come get me, please. Put cold towels
Dude,
on me.
That sounds so awful, man.
We got to do
what
it.
What the fuck?
We got to do it in the jungle, though.
Oh, yeah.
We got to, like.
Well, I think
Apocalypse
we should take a little,
shit,
Mike. I think we should take a little retreat down to the Amazon.
Oh, that's
gonna
that'll
listen, be fucking
man,
crazy.
Blow your mind.
Yeah, I'd be
you
wishing.
Know, you're see, you're thinking, like right now, you see, you've been through everywhere. You traveled all over the world. You've been with probably every kind of women, beautiful. But then when you take the toll shoot, you have been nowhere. You've seen nothing. You have been with nobody.
Yeah, I need to feel that. That sounds like something that I'm telling
you. It shows you how small you are.
Yeah, I need
compared to the world. You're nothing. You're not even a seed. You're smaller than a fucking seed.
Wow.
It's a trip, man. It changes your perspective, you know?
And you got to have that.
Yeah, you gotta throughout life. Well, ancient cultures knew this stuff, you know. People start going insane because they get stuck in the same old routine and rigmarole, and their habits take over their life. So ancient cultures knew about the human experience, and they would use these medicines to, you know, go to the, get to the next level.
But how did they know to get the medicine from the toad or the plant? How did they know? Who told them?
Well, in this book called The Cosmic Serpent, this guy spent years with this tribe in the Amazon, and talking to their shamans, they said that the plants teach us these things.
Right.
And for thousands of years, this knowledge has just been passed down. They'll fast from sex, food, even water for a year straight. And they'll just take, every day they'll take DMT. And they're just out in the jungle living off the land for a year. And they're literally, you know, toggling between the spirit realm and the physical realm, you know, and learning all of this information.
Well, I mean, the Indians were doing that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Every culture had their own thing, you know, whether it was peyote, ayahuasca, the toad, mushrooms.
Opium.
Sure, in China, opium.
You remember, see, a lot of people don't know that they had dens in New York where you know, people would go.
For a long time.
Businessmen. Everybody go and just sit there.
Like in Amsterdam.
And smoke opium, yo. For real.
Yeah.
Smoke opium, yo.
Well, that's it. That's what's interesting about that 19th Marijuana Tax Act, 1937. Because, you know, LaGuardia, he was the mayor of New York, Fiorello LaGuardia.
What's his name? Fiorello?
Fiorello.
Fiorello, wow.
Little short guy.
Wow.
LaGuardia, and so the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act came down, and he had about 300 hash parlors in New York City. So he was like, when this shit hit, he had, you know, a bunch of angry business owners knocking on his door going, yo, what the fuck? Now our shit's illegal.
Shit.
So he put together a whole board of all the smartest doctors and researchers that he could find, and they put together the LaGuardia report to prove that cannabis was totally safe and a valuable medicine and product. And here we are today, dude, and you've got your own brand.
Yeah.
Look at that fucking thing, dude.
Boss Genetics from the guys on this, the Benzino OG.
So this is your company, Ben?
Yeah, man, I'm over here, man. And, you know, I mean, man, it's a long time coming, working with the guys over at Boss Genetics. My man Joey and Jesse, you know.
What's up, Joey and Jeff?
You know, Joe, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, check it out, man. Got some things coming out, you know, a lot of
fake
pens. And, yeah, man, I'm excited about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited. Finally, I can finally get a strand and finally get my name, you know, OG Cali Buzz, the whole crew, so... I'm excited about it. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga.
Beautiful packaging.
Come on, nigga. Tell me your name of your stuff, man.
This is Boss Status Genetics. This is the Benzino OG, Gasolini. Did you know at DuckTales there was a guy named Benzino Gasolini?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a fucking character. You could Google him.
I love that. Benzino
Gasolini on DuckTales. Gasolini.
I love.
He was a playboy.
I know that.
He was a fucking playboy. He was a pig. And he was a pig. A fucking playboy pig. Gasolini with an I.
Oh, Gasolini.
And then go to images. There he goes. Look at him. See him with the scarf over there?
Yeah, he's a player.
Oh, my God.
Benzino Gasolini, bro.
Oh,
that's
and he's
dope.
A pig. Yo,
yeah, I don't like that. Like, I like to make an Italian the pig and shit.
How did you?
It has a lot to do with stereotype, you know what I mean?
That's true. Interesting.
Stereotype shit.
Yeah. Interesting.
At that time when they were doing it, that's how they felt about
it.
Yeah.
How did you get the name?
Benzino?
Yeah.
Oh, man, my man Trevor, he's locked up, Free Trev. But, you know, I used to be.
Free Trev, Trev.
Free Trev.
Yeah, man, Trev is like benching 5-something, man. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Doing his thing, man. You know what I'm saying?
Don't hurt yourself, nigga.
Yeah. Yeah, he gave my name. It went from Ray Dog. I was Ray Dog with the Almighty RSO, and it went to Benzino and shit, because, you know, I was in the hood, and I was every, you know, little Benzes, yeah.
Benzes.
The buggy eyed, every Benz, the 300, the
500. Benzino traveling.
Just stuff. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. What hip-hop was you listening to? Was you listening to hip-hop when you was fighting for the Olympics? And who do you remember who you was listening to? Old school.
What years?
What
was that?
Well, who was you listening to?
I didn't make the Olympic trials the around trials, that time. Right. Who was I listening to? I was listening, man, Run DMC. I was listening to the Fat Boys and stuff like that, Slick Rick and these guys.
That's all you listened to was hip hop, or did you listen to disco?
No,
did you...
I listened to rock. I listened to disco, R&B, and some smooth ass fucking rock and roll. I mean, yeah, real right, rock, right, right, motherfucking rock right, and roll is right, rock and roll. Right, yeah. Right, right.
What would you listen to, right, Mike? Oh, nigga. In that realm,
sing it.
You go to Frank, nah, nigga. You go to Frankie Lyman and all those guys, man. You go to Elvis Presley when he had his fly ass shit, Hound Dog and all his shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Fly past some shit at the
Did you box to music? Because it wasn't really no headphones, so.
Dope.
Yeah, man, brought you guys a couple of hats,
thank you,
man.
Brother.
Some Boston
joints.
You know what I'm saying?
Turn that thing on.
Yeah. I shadow box to the music. And we listened to the
So would they bring on a speaker? Like how did you know what I'm saying? What was them
trying? Well, this is what normally I would bring my boom box.
The boom box, okay.
And I put it in the fucking locker room and I start shadow boxing.
Okay.
You know, Earth, Wind, and Fire and all that shit.
Yeah, mixtapes, like cassettes.
Yeah, all type of shit. From Homeboy that made a tape for me and stuff. Everybody had all
you missed that? You missed cassettes in that whole era, that whole cassette era, you know what I'm saying? Cassette tapes.
Mixtapes
and shit.
No, because it was very, listen, no.
It's really a fun thing.
It was fun.
That novelty,
it
right?
It was fun, right? But it was always in the way. I had so many of them. When you got a lot of them, you got 300 or 400 fucking cassette tapes.
Yeah. Gang of them,
they're
right
in the fucking way.
Yeah, I know.
And you got to look and you got to put them down to find the one you want. You got to put you got to put them in. And then it's my mom said, get the fuck out the house or something. You know, get them away. Yeah. Get them away.
Fucking,
you know, when you're a kid, you know, don't give a fuck if you like music.
I remember 8-tracks.
I had that too.
I remember 8-tracks. My father had a War 8-track and a Bill Cosby comedy 8-track. I'd never forget those. With the Fat Albert Gang on it. On an 8-track.
I remember when we used to rob the cars, we used to take the 8-tracks.
Mm.
This is what they
fucking
8-tracks,
yo.
Did 8-tracks, 8-tracks just didn't make it through cassette tapes? Is that what happened? Tapes took over?
Yeah. Cassettes came after.
You know why? Because the 8-track was too fucking big, clumsy, and bulky.
It was like a videotape.
Yeah, it was in the cars.
It was like a VHS, right?
And it wasn't reliable.
It would be caught.
Yep. Mm.
Yep.
So fucking just it wasn't a good.
But the 8-track covers were lethal, like the classic. Beautiful. The covers are, oh my God.
So,
it was like the same size of a VCH, right?
Yeah.
My uncle's.
It was huge.
My uncle's had all these incredible records. I used to love going through that.
33, 45.
Yeah. Oh, long playing.
Those
are long playing joints.
Yeah. Just
God
bring those
damn
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful, man. That's kind of a shame because you don't get that anymore.
Oh,
with
bro.
All the streaming and
listen,
shit.
Listen, we used to rob, me and my man two times, man, used to rob colleges for all their records. We had a 10,000 collection of records.
Wow.
Never the record. 10,000.
We
the
would steal
player,
all the colleges.
You know?
All the college
I stole
albums.
The record player. Always stole the record player. Don't fuck with the record. It's the record
player. Listen, I was in my grandfather's basement when I was about, man, it probably was like in 77. And to be real, in the original Apache, down, you know what I'm saying? Down. And a song called Sex. Remember that? Sex. It was by the Bongo Brothers or the Bongo Band. But anyways, that was the first joints I learned how to scratch on. I was in my Uncle Eddie's basement, and he had Bruce Lee posters. He had a CB radio. Remember CB radio?
Remember that?
I was the Phantom. My father would make me, he was in a Fed, he would make me a belt. Like in leather class, like in the Feds, called the Phantom. I remember all that shit, man. For real. I remember that. I'll be remembering a lot, but I remember that. Like, that was, like, early. Like, I love hip-hop.
That's fun, man.
You ever see Wild Style?
Nah.
Beach Street,
yeah. Okay. Beach Street was my shit.
You fuck with Crazy Legs and them?
My wife, she's a friend of ours, her makeup artist, married one of the dancers out of Crazy Legs crew.
Okay. Rocksteady. Mm. Out of Rocksteady crew.
Rocksteady crew. They live in Vegas.
Yeah. Legendary.
That's crazy, dude.
DJing isn't
the
same.
Oh, they the B-Boys bad dancers.
They was the shit.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, they're
Crazy Legs was a fucking problem.
Bunch of Puerto Rican guys. They were off the hook.
They had like one. They had one brother there.
Yeah.
I think he was Mr. He spun on his head. I forgot. Mr. Freeze.
Tell us about the Source Awards, man.
Source Awards.
Tell us, brother. How did it even become? How did it even start?
Think about it. Source Magazine, Dave Mays, you know what I'm saying? The whole staff, I mean, Five Mics, legendary shit. It was just right that, you know, because the Grammys was jerking motherfuckers so much back then that figured, like, look, man, we need our own, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at that time, I mean, it started really on Yo MTV Raps as just a read-off. Mm. That was, like, the first one.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That was, like, the first Source Awards was a read-off. You know, it wasn't even an award show, but then we did the first one in Madison Square Garden in the theater area. And God rest the dead, Bernie Mac hosted it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? The first joint.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
Bernie
dope.
Mac hosted that. The lights were fucked up. It was raw though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like, it was a lot of iconic moments in Source Awards, but it was just a collaborative idea that we just felt like, you know, that's what it needed at that time. You know what I'm saying? Like, hip hop needed it to be recognized, you know, because like I said, the Grammys really wasn't recognizing hip hop. And hip hop was such a strong, strong music, and it was a strong infusion to the culture that it needed something just to represent hip hop. And a lot of times people were really scared to deal with these artists anyways.
Mm.
So we didn't, you know what I'm saying? Mike came to, you know what I'm saying? A few of them.
The rappers now have become pretty much, what do you call them? Domesticated now compared to the ones in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, then, wasn't it the first time people got to see this East Coast, West Coast feud?
I mean, that was iconic, but people don't understand, like, you got to, like, you know, even beyond what happened when Suge got up and said what he said, and then I look at if you look at those performances, the performances were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was the first time you got to see really the whole entire Bad Boy crew, like everybody on one stage, and then the whole entire Death Row with everybody on stage together. So just that alone to me was
iconic. I remember watching it.
You know, I mean, the part was crazy. That you really thought that at any time it was getting ready to go down. Like I did. You know, I thought that it was going down because, I mean, they were deep. They were deep from the West Coast, and they were in New York.
It was real, man.
So New York was deep. So I thought it was going down, but I think hip hop saved it. And I think when Snoop got up there and said what he did kind of saved it, when he said he kind of grabbed the mic and was like, New York ain't got love for, you know what I'm saying? That was a lot of people don't understand, that was a kind of a defining moment that he kind of brought the tension down at that moment right there when he grabbed the mic.
Amazing.
And, you know what I'm saying? Like that was, yeah. Yeah, but we got through it. You know what I'm saying? We always had Nation of Islam security, you know?
Wow. Mike, did you ever meet
Big
Biggie?
Minister Farrakhan.
Big up to Mr. Farrakhan.
Did you ever meet Biggie?
Yeah, twice.
What was he like?
Very cool.
Yeah?
He's very cool.
He's super chill.
Yeah, and we were talking, he came to my house one day, and I was having a party, and he came to the house, and I said, Biggie's out there? Come in. So we were talking, and he said, because he's from Brooklyn too, so one of his friends named Chinaman was a friend of mine, you know, back in the 70s when we were kids, like 11, 9 years old, we used to fly birds together. And he said, Chinaman told me you fly birds and stuff. I said, yeah, you know Chinaman? Then we discussed. Then I saw him outside of a club one night. And then all this stuff started happening. I went to prison. Then all this stuff started happening.
Oh.
Then by the time I came out, you know, these guys started killing each other.
You still fly birds?
Yeah.
Really? Are you going to have the bird thing on the ranch so people could actually see it?
That's what they were thinking about doing.
I think that'd be dope. You're going to have all that open area.
They were thinking about putting some lions and tigers. They were thinking about putting
sanctuary
beautiful. Out there.
Yeah. I think it'd be beautiful.
But the bird thing with him doing it, I think people would want to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really are the only person I've ever even seen on video do, like, period. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen no one else do that, ever.
What was the movie with Forrest Whitaker?
I mean, in the movies. I'm talking about, I'm saying in the movies, I'm saying
Ghost Dog.
Right. Right, but that's the movie. I'm saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Because I know they do it in Brazil a lot. They do it somewhere else.
I saw pigeons in Brazil. I was looking
somewhere. Maybe it wasn't Brazil, but it's some country that they
like
do
Hawaii
it a lot.
Hawaii do have pigeons. Very few people don't have pigeons. Even like if you go to like the royal family in England, everybody they have pigeon coops too because they're pigeon racers. It's this big money. Like if you look up South African pigeon racing, in Cape Town, South Africa, it's like $3 million race.
You still got pigeons?
Oh, I keep them till I die.
No, really?
I'm always had pigeons till I die.
Have you had one? What's the longest one you've had for? Like
how long?
How long?
Yeah. I had a bird 17 years old before. Shh.
17 years.
Yeah.
In the wild, they don't live that long.
No.
From what age to what age?
Excuse me?
From what age to what age did it?
I was a little kid. I don't remember. It was 17
years.
You know why? he had the band. Mm. I didn't raise him, but he had the band. He was marked. Mm. You know, at that time.
So is there one now you got that's special? Yeah.
No. They're all beautiful. It's all awesome. You go in there and say, fuck, I didn't know pigeons look like this.
Yeah.
They're all pedigree.
And they all know you.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's amazing. You know. That's fucking
good. Isn't that interesting?
That's amazing, man.
I let them out. When you let them out, it's creepy. You see them, and they're locked up. But you let them out. They go way in the sky. You can hardly see them. They do the stuff. They come back in. They go in the coop, and it's a rat.
So if you and your wife out of Central Park and the pigeons come up, you fuck with the pigeons out there? You...
Listen, this is what I do. Anywhere I'm at in the world, I say, I bet you I can catch one of those birds.
I figured so.
And then they give me some seeds or some corn, throw, boom, I catch them.
Really?
Yeah, I do it all the time. I'm in Europe or something because the pigeons come down.
Right, right.
I grab them all the time.
Wow. That's the most so I funny. Did with a pigeon throwing McDonald's French fries in Boston Common. They love some fucking French fries, boy.
They love it. They love anything.
All the pigeons in the world originate from the pigeons in the streets. You know, Darwin took them. Like, if he saw one street pigeon or something, and he sort of had white in it, one white, he'd grab all the birds with white and breed them together.
Wow.
One bit of, and then they'll turn out, one of them will turn out solid white.
That's a street dove.
Huh? No, it does. The doves and pigeons are two different species.
No, I'm saying street dove as a pigeon, because pigeons come from, doves come from where? Like, where do doves come from?
Doves is a species of pigeon.
That's a species of pigeon. I didn't know
this
that.
It's interesting, but if they breed together, the baby comes out sterile.
Huh.
Yeah, the baby can't have babies.
Interesting.
The baby between a pigeon and a dove. Wow.
Charles Darwin did that, huh?
Charles Darwin did so much for pigeons, you know?
Interesting. I didn't know that.
The Galapagos Islands. Galapagos? Yeah, that's where he went to.
They really were used for, like, to carry messages, mainly.
Since the beginning of time. Ancient Roman times and stuff like that, too.
Carry messages.
Crazy.
And then when they started fighting with the Arabs and stuff, the Muslims started training falcons to intercept the pigeons. And find that on the
get the fuck out of here, yo. Hell no. Get out of here.
Yes.
Wow. That's nuts, yo. Yeah. Okay, we're going to get somebody. Imagine the pigeon coming in on his regular, you know. Yeah. The first time he seen a falcon, like, that's yo, what up, bro? You know,
sometimes the falcon has to lay. Probably he waits for him or else he's way in the air. And as a guy, he dives on him because it's very difficult to catch a pigeon. He's very agile. Even though the falcon's faster, he's very agile, the pigeon. It's very hard to catch.
So how far can a pigeon go to carry a note?
Ooh, check it out.
Good quest.
I did 100 miles easy.
100 miles?
Easy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Easy. 100
That's
nothing.
Like from Boston to Connecticut.
No, hey,
like, fuck.
Boston to New York is nothing to them.
For a pigeon?
Nothing.
To carry a message?
Nothing.
Oh.
That's
man.
Nothing.
That's hard.
You should do something more like from from LA to New York. So now they'd probably give them a run for their money, nigga. And maybe not even that.
You know other pigeon
yeah.
people?
Oh, yeah, all over the world.
Is that what they call pigeon people? Like, what do you call a pigeon?
Fanciers, or flyers.
Okay, flyers. There he goes.
60 miles per hour, 100 miles per hour.
Niggas in the hood loves pigeons, man. Like, those are our birds. Those are our parrots.
Peep
like,
game.
People,
peep game.
That's
I'm
all
tell
we've
you
seen.
About pigeons, right? Know who mess with these pigeons and stuff?
Flights as long as 1,100 miles.
And damn. That's just what's been recorded.
Shit.
That's only been recorded. So that means they go farther.
They go to damn near Colorado from fucking New York.
Some of them fly crazy. At nighttime. They don't stop. They can see at night. I thought they couldn't see at nighttime.
They can see at nighttime.
They can see at night, yeah.
Amazing.
How many pigeons you got?
Maybe 1,400 now. I always say 2,500, but we got rid of so many. Probably like 1,300
pigeons. Damn. And they all, like, basically, like, they consider their home. They consider their home.
Ooh, this is deep for me. Their house costs, like, 100 G's.
Shit.
Yeah, this is my life. I make sure they're taken care of. They always cleaned every day.
Has the staff ever fucked
water
up?
Water cleaned every day. They leave. They go. But normally they're professional pigeon
man,
flyers.
Man, I'd hate to be the staff that loses one of Mike's pigeons.
No, but most of them are
you tell a motherfucker.
Guys, you know,
the first fight Mike was ever in was defending a pigeon.
Yeah, somebody
pigeon.
Took my bird and killed it and ripped his head off.
Yeah, I seen that when you still did. Yeah. Ripped his head off?
Yeah.
Now, look, you know they had to be. You know he was just born bad. Whoever did that... Because, you know, I don't think I was born bad. No, you know what I'm saying? Some niggas are born bad. No, like, listen, if you're just going to rip a fucking pigeon's head off,
he wasn't born bad, but that's just what's the thing. That's how you disrespect him. That's how the pigeon world is.
Yeah, but there's other ways to disrespect.
No, game. Guy catch your bird. Like, you're riding birds, your bird, your birds clash. So you catch the guy's bird, and this guy's an asshole because he caught a couple of your birds probably during the week or last year or something. And he's like, fuck you, motherfucker. See, I got your bird. Boom,
yeah, that's a different dude. He needed psychiatric help. I bet you.
That's the game. That's the pigeon game, nigga. The pigeon game is vicious. People been shot, thrown off rules.
Over
yeah.
ripping.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers just rip off their shit. Like, with no.
Listen, right?
The fuck?
No, listen, guy has his birds out. You got your birds out. All of a sudden, he thinks that you're not. You went to work or something. He lets his new birds out. You fucking waiting. His birds are flying. You run up to your coop. You let your birds out. Catch his new birds. Nigga, he caught my new bird. He waits for you to come downstairs, and he hits you over the fucking head with a bat.
Damn.
It's intense, bro.
Pigeon wars.
It gets real in the pigeon
Pigeon
world,
wars.
Yeah.
Do you breed them? You also breed them?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I stopped breeding because it got too much, but my friend just gave 25 to my other friend, so we're going to start breeding again.
Do you give them away or sell them, or do you, like, what do you? Or,
no, I do, my friend told me that he needs some birds or something. I sent 50 or something birds down there. He'll breed them and stuff. And this is what's interesting about birds. So if I got 2,000 birds, right, and I have to sell my birds, I'll sell my birds. Well, some of them are, I'll sell them, like, say I want to get rid of 2,000 birds.
Right.
I'll sell them for what? $20 a whop, $10 a whop, but I got 2,000 birds. All right, so I got to do what? 100-something birds here, then I got to do 100-something birds to another factory or to another auction here.
So you was flipping birds, literally.
Yes. Yeah.
Literally flipping birds.
Flipping birds.
Yeah. Yeah. He's literally, you know what I'm saying? You be talking to the feds, hey, your shit tap. Yeah, listen, I need 5 birds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, I need 50 birds.
Listen,
all right, we got them now.
Listen, you know what I'm saying? You see in the hood, these guys on the roof in the hood?
Yeah.
These guys have $200,000 in their birds. These guys don't work. They're hustlers. They got $200,000 in their roof. And like I was saying before, most of the people that started this are the guys that in the dark world, the gangsters, all the mafia from the beginning of time, they all had pigeon coops. All of them. Lucky Luciano, all those guys, they all have flew birds. Everybody flew birds.
And the way you clap, is that's the language.
If you train them that way.
Got you.
Some people train a whistle, some with the clap.
How do you
clap. Like clap. Clap, yeah.
Interesting.
Do you name them? Have you named them?
Not really, because I don't try to get too attached to them, because they're going to die. It's a hawk's going to get them, and I'm going to be sad.
Right.
You know?
And you have been sad, of course, over
many
some.
Many times I cried over these birds. Yeah. Sometimes the guy's too big. He takes my birds from him, nothing I can do. You know, the big guy. If you arrest, somebody call your birds a rat, that's the biggest insult. That's cause for fighting. Else getting somebody to tell us when later that
it's
night.
It's like, man, look at your little dirty ass rats. Like, yeah. You know, get them out of here.
Well, that's big time disrespect because of my bird's rat. That's very offensive.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, wow. You don't know what's going to come back after that.
It's like that in the streets, too.
You might take it back.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen after that.
Yeah. Benzino, do you have anything like that?
Dogs? No, I had a rabbit. I had a rabbit.
You had a rabbit?
I had a fucking rabbit. Chloe.
Wow.
Man. Yeah, when I was doing Love and Hip Hop, I had a rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I taught the rabbit how to shit in the kitty litter.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
That's good.
I used to call the rabbit, jump in my lap.
Sweet. Was it one of those big ones?
I mean, I got her as a thing, but then she grew. You know what I'm saying? I was like, it was an all white bunny. And I just, for some reason, I thought Khloe Kardashian. I don't know why. I just named her Khloe.
You like Khloe?
Huh?
You like Khloe?
Oh, you know, Khloe's nice.
Khloe's cool.
Yeah, Khloe's cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Khloe, you know what I mean? Yeah. Khloe, you know what I mean? Like I said, I find beauty in everything, Mike. You know what I'm saying? I find beauty in everything, man. I think women are beautiful species. They're beautiful species.
Absolutely.
When God made, well, I guess they said that women came from the rib. Is that?
No, let's not do it. We're going to get in trouble. They're not going to like it. No, we keep talking about that. Don't say that.
Well, I was going to say God made woman.
Nigga. God is transgender, nigga. God is part woman and part man, all right? So God made women. He know women is made for women.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be political correct. God ain't, no one want to hear I came from a nigga's rib. They don't listen to that shit.
No, I didn't know. So I was going to say God even, broke the mold with women, but I didn't know.
Even religious preacher women don't want to hear. I'm not from them niggas.
I like that God broke the mold with women.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, because, sure. I mean, think about it. Women are beautiful, man.
Oh, my God. My life would not
women
be the same.
Women are interesting, huh?
Women are beautiful. It's like the most beautiful is artwork and everything, but no, I don't think no art, anything can top a woman. Like, women are the epitome of beauty. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you see a woman, you just be, wow. I mean, a woman's beauty will just take you over. Just here, take it all. I mean, we all love beautiful women.
Absolutely. So you got your cannabis brand. You're also opening up a restaurant?
Don't you have one?
Well, yeah, I had opened it, Benzino's Crab Trap.
Awesome.
Where is that, in Atlanta?
Benzino's Crab Trap.
Yeah.
Where's it located at?
It's going to be in the South DeKalb Mall, open up in we're going to have a grand opening.
In a mall?
Yeah, it's a
food court.
How
do you do that in a mall? How do you put a restaurant in a mall? Tell me how this shit works.
Well, these people had actually, I was in L.A. And,
how could I work in a mall in a restaurant? I'd be all over the fucking place.
No, it's going to be dope, man. Like, the mall had flew me down there. They had heard about the one I had did in Marietta, Georgia.
Awesome.
And, man, yeah, you know, all the sauces and recipes.
How's the food? Good?
All the recipes of mine. Yeah. Sauces, amazing. Oh, no, I got lines out the door. It's incredible.
Dope, brother.
Yeah, it's all on my gray head.
How's Carly feeling about that?
Who? No, Mike, that's... Carly's old. That was years ago.
But still, they got a couple, feeling about that. I don't know. Hey, I want to be a part of this some kind of way again.
You know what? I don't even know, man. It's like one thing I think.
Is Atlanta that big where a motherfucker could disappear? You won't see him for
it
months.
It is. You know what it is? There's a lot of trees. It's not really? That it's that big, but it's just it is. It's spread out and it's trees. So it ain't all. You see how L.A. everything's out and open? Atlanta, man, you could be. Couple of miles away, it's just so many trees, you won't see it for months, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everybody ducked off.
How is nigga with a bunch of black motherfuckers on you 24/7 of a day?
I love it. I ain't gonna lie. I love it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a hood nigga. Like, I've been through so much to where it's a blessing that I could still get love. And, you know, so, you know, I love that. I ain't gonna front. Like, I'd be more happy. Let me take a picture with you. Yeah, come on. You know, I'd be more happy to take one with them, you know?
Listen, man, you got to fucking experience a fucking black city. It's nothing like this shit.
Atlanta's dope. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. L.A.'s dope. Miami's dope. I mean, Boston. Every city got something different. You know that. Every place got something different.
Atlanta's a dope city.
I got to be in a quiet fucking city.
At this point in your life.
Yeah. At this stage in my life, to get the best out of me, I need to be in a city like Newport Beach.
Yeah.
Right now, if I'm in LA, I am fucking over this.
I'm ducked off in Atlanta.
This is over. This is no good no more. The business is shut down. Fuck, I can't be in LA. No more fucking Tyson Ranch. I burnt the fucking fields in fucking Tyson Ranch. It's finished, nigga. Right here, where I need to be.
They're out there like, no, Mike, we don't need that, Mike.
No, Mike,
no.
No,
fucking money down the drain. Fuck no, Mike.
No.
I know. I feel that now.
Nah, but it's good. Like, love is good. Oh, love, you know, it's good, man. Like, when people, you know
that's
what I'm saying?
Dope,
like,
man.
Yeah,
because,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, shit, after the source had fell and everything, man, we, you know, the feds, it was an investigation and shit. It was a whole big thing and, like, pretty much lost everything. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, with me, I think it hit Dave more than it hit me because I'm from the street. So, I'm going to get back out there one way or the other and get it. With Dave, he went to Harvard. And, you know, his parents, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure they didn't want that to happen.
So maybe do you think Dave's family said, why are you fucking with these black motherfuckers, man?
You know, the reality of it is Dave comes from an old school Jewish family. So, you know, if that's how they felt, you just have to respect that. And it doesn't bother me because me and Dave's relationship was always A1. So, you know, you would like everybody to love each other, but if it don't, you know, we still taking care of business. You know what I'm saying? It's just shit. I mean,
y'all guys had fun in that fucking Source place, man.
Man, it was out of control, man. Source,
I believe it, bro.
Man. It was shit.
That was the shit.
That's all they
were
talking about. Source magazine.
Dude.
Being in South Beach was great back then, right?
Man, it was out of control, man. I come front. I used to have hotel rooms, like 3 penthouses, just. Right there waiting, just with all the keys right there, just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was out of control. And then I had a club, Benzino's, and I gave away more bottles than probably, I didn't even make no money. I lost a couple of million on the club.
I couldn't take Miami either.
You like the Bee Gees?
Bee Gees.
I
met one of the Bee Gees.
Really?
One of them was here.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Which one?
I forgot, one of the sons.
One
of
the Gibbs.
The Gibbs. The Bee Gees was probably the most soulful.
Yeah, they was
most,
off the hook.
They was
the
shit.
Fuck. Remember they had the young son, fuck. Young brother Andy. He was even bigger than them and he OD'd
man.
And shit.
Yeah. Man, their fucking
was
songs
really
were dope.
He had Victoria Principal back then. Remember how fine she was, the one on Dynasty? Victoria Dallas, whatever
she was. She was dope. She was dope.
Victoria.
You love Saturday Night Fever, tell the truth.
Oh, it was
that was the, come on, man. That was the movie. Staying Alive.
Staying Alive.
I mean, Travolta,
that was the shit.
Dude,
that was the shit. Dude. How'd you feel when he, the first time you see him and he jumped off the bridge? Remember?
Listen, man, I thought the motherfucker committed suicide too, yeah. But when the guy fell off the bridge,
what do you say, yeah?
I knew that was coming.
It was coming. Oh, you knew it was coming?
I knew somebody was going to
off the bridge, right? It was fucking around on him. Yeah. Yeah, that was the shit. Yeah.
Fuck, man.
See, that's what's dope because, you know, them movies right there, we could talk about those movies. Them movies.
See, I don't know what they did in Boston. Like, Sam, 10 years old, 9 years old, right? We go with, like, what? Around 15 guys, right? From Brownsville, Brooklyn. We get on the train. Then we go all the way up to 42nd Street. And then we just fucking terrorize. We were going to fucking, listen, we were just going to car train. You know what a train, like you go on the train?
Of course.
Yeah. You go on the train.
We had the orange and red line.
You
we still
the
got
train,
the,
you go on the train. The over. Listen, we went on the train with our crew. Nigga, the doors closed. We robbing everything, smashing everybody, robbing, ripping their pants.
See, New York trains are different.
We're off the fucking hook.
Yeah, New York trains
are
different.
We were young kids off the hook, snatching purses, chain, stripping people, neck, beating the shit out of them. The door open, we are gone. The next stop, yeah.
New York trains are different.
There
are real
animals
shit.
Out there.
No, for real. Because
we were animals.
How many cars would be on a New York train?
It'd be 8 of them, 10 of them, right?
See, in Boston, is you know, I mean, you could do all, and then you're going for like you're going.
Yeah,
like, you could do all that shit. Like New York trains, you had
once
to
the
have,
New York train is going, you can't doors closed. You
that's
ain't
it.
Getting out until the stop, the next stop.
If you don't have no weapon,
that's
you're
like,
fucked.
That's like 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, nigga. You fucked in.
Seen the Warriors?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I got this movie idea. Right. You love the Warriors?
Warriors awesome.
What about doing The Rise of Cyrus and show how Cyrus take it before he got shot? Remember, you know what I'm saying? And show him how he ran the gangs. So it would go all the way up until to the end. It would be how we, because that's how
the
it
prequel.
Started. You know, it would be the prequel.
Yeah.
The Rise of Cyrus.
Yeah, it'd be dope.
Right?
Cyrus off the, can you dig
Did,
it?
Right? Cyrus was
can
a,
you dig
because he knew karate.
Suckers.
Remember, he knew karate because his boys was at the dojo. Remember,
yeah. All them guys in the 70s. That's what it was.
Karate,
Bruce Lee, nigga,
that was the shit.
You up, nigga, with karate chop. You remember those on?
You never took up karate, chuck. Mike?
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
The moon chucks everything.
Yep. Yeah, new chucks.
Listen,
yeah.
This is what another thing. I know people are like, so we would go watch it. This is New York. Anybody from New York would know this is true, especially from Brooklyn. We would skip school, go to 42nd Street, Times Square. One person will pay to go in the movie, open the back door, and let the rest of us in. Right? We get in the movie theater, and we watch a karate movie. Oh, shit. And it really doesn't matter. Next thing you know, we start getting
start
up.
Fighting.
We start stepping. We stand up, get out of our seats in the movie. We see somebody there, and we say, ooh, and we just give them a fucking kick in that. Boom, start beating the shit out, start robbing them. And that's just what we did.
So, that's insane.
Bah, bah, bah. And then everybody would just jump on them and start robbing them.
Yo,
stuff.
When Mike tells the robbing stories, you
that's
can see it in him.
Know.
Just beat him. No. Just kick him. And
I know,
and just,
I can't believe that. Right now, I'm fortunate. I'm living well. My family. I think that I used to rob people. And I used to love. It. I think that was the manipulate them, pick their pockets, just go rip their pockets out and just run. It's crazy.
We used to do house invasions too.
Oh, we did that, but
we did a lot of house invasions.
We would have a key, and I learned this from the Jamaican and the West Indian guys. They would have a key that doesn't have no affiliation with the lock that we're breaking in the door, and they would just jam and play with it, and all of a sudden the door would open, pop. I thought, how does that shit work?
We used to go in houses, and if the houses, I remember Lil Seymour, we in the house, man. That was the first time I seen this. No lie, he in the refrigerator. I'm like, God damn.
Nah,
we didn't get shit. It was times we didn't even get shit out the house.
I saw sometimes friends of mine, it would be three of us, we bring, and I see two of my friends, they start fighting because they start snatching. They don't want the
grabbing
other person to see
what, shit, right?
They don't want the other person to see he got because they don't want to
share.
I
mean, the first place you got
to
go is the bedroom. It's the first place you got to go.
You know what I mean?
You got to get to the bedroom.
Start stashing. He tried to hide stuff, not let them know that he got something, and they start fighting in the fucking house.
Yeah, see, in Boston, you had
the fucking house that we robbing is a fight. My two friends
in Boston, you have car thieves, you have house invaders, you have robbers, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was everybody did something different. Even like cars, see, Massachusetts was heavy for car thieves back in the day.
Really?
Stealing cars,
I was never into that.
Stealing cars. I mean, they would just grab them just to get chased.
Yeah,
just to get chased by police. I mean, it was chased. You'd
know,
be
Boston,
out of block.
In Boston, bank robberies big.
Heavy bank robberies. Heavy bank robberies. Like Charlestown. You know,
Charlestown,
the Irish. You know what I'm saying?
Big time
bank
robbers.
Yeah, my dad was locked up with a bunch of bank robbers from Canada. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, like bank robbers is heavy in Boston too. There was a lot of banks in Boston. You know what I'm saying? You know, armored cars.
Yeah, you have to have nerve to do that shit.
That's nuts. Yeah.
I mean, imagine back in when it was robbing banks in the Midwest. Imagine that shit, because there was no police. See, when the Midwest first started in America,
John Dillinger, Babyface
Nelson,
yeah,
man, the reason why they was doing all that, because there was no police in the Midwest. Like, it was just still nothing there.
No, it was nothing there. No one else.
One sheriff.
And no one else. Yeah. They were more. They had more artillery than the police.
Yeah,
Dillinger, Babyface Nelson, Pretty Boy Floyd, they were
Tommy
loaded.
Guns.
Yeah,
and the police had that.
Bonnie and Clyde, they had fucking
the Smith and Wesson six shot Smith and Wesson.
And these guys got Tommy guns.
That's why they was robbing banks left and right. Yeah, and it took the army and the marshals to you know, special guys to come get them. Thank you, my brother.
Melvin Purvis. He came to get him.
Beast.
He was a beast.
Beast.
He was a fucking beast.
Melvin Purvis was
that's
a
why
beast.
Then, cause know why? He was getting too much love, and that's why Jay Gould fired him. Mm. He committed suicide after that.
Benzino, man, it's been great having you in, brother.
Man, this was dope, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Man. Come anytime.
Come anytime. You're welcome back, man.
Thank you, man.
Great stories.
Good shit.
It was awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Great weed.
Now, tell you guys talk about the nigga that I took the camera from. Remember before?
Oh, yeah, okay. This one. This is the last story.
Okay.
All right. So, look.
I didn't even believe it. He remembered. He told me that.
That's my one Mike Tyson story. So, we had my club. Mike comes in. So, Mike's fucked up and shit. So, Mike grabs me and shit. We in the VIP section. He's grabbed me and he's talking to me. So, Mike starts saying shit about something about 1804 and gangsters in Providence. Yeah. He was talking, like, he was getting deep.
Wow.
And I was just tripping, like, man, this is Mike Tyson. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is dope. So, then the dude came over and he came. The photographer, and he put the joint in his mouth like this, and he crossed his leg, and he said, "You," and he, because he's trying to be, and he's like, next thing you know, Mike reaches over, grabs him, because he had the cord around, by the fucking thing, pulls him, because the dude's small, pulls his shit like he chokes him from the back with the cord of the camera, pulls the thing, takes the camera off, snaps the camera in half from the lens. He got one of them Canon cameras. Threw the camera down, the dude jetted out. I'm sitting there, right? So I'm just sitting, I ain't said shit. So then I remember he said, like, that's the enemy. And I was like, all right, well, he's
the
enemy.
High. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's the fucking enemy. Then. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, he's the enemy because he got his arm around me. He's right there. He's the fucking enemy.
Wow.
Fucking right. You know what I'm saying? Come to find out later on, and this was years later, and I found out that Jay Lash was Don King's photographer.
Oh, wow.
And now that's how it all made sense, man.
Did you know that?
I knew who he was. I shouldn't have done that, but I was just mad.
I didn't know what the fuck happened.
That's crazy.
That's my Mike
Tyson
story.
Dude, that's such a good one.
Damn, this nigga remember that. That's fuck.
Come on,
such
champ.
A good story,
you're a fucking
bro.
Champ, bro.
It's awesome, man. Well, thank you, dude. Thank you again.
I would never do that in a million years now. You know, I'm so domesticated.
Yeah, you're so nice.
Ain't nothing bad with that. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck yeah, man.
Stories are dope, though. Yeah. Stories are dope.
Hell yeah, dude.
Shout out to Jay Lash.
Jay Lash, we love you, nigga.
Love you, Jay Lash.
Come by more, man.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Mike,
love to.
Great app, brother.
To, hey, awesome episode.
Man.
We're out of here.
Man, check out Benzino's products.
Yeah, man. Boss Genetics, man.
Boss Genetics.
Go on there.com, you know what I'm saying? On their Instagram, you know what I'm saying?
Baby.
Boss Genetics, you know what I'm saying? Hi, TV, you know what I'm saying? We here, baby. Let's
all right,
go.
Y'all. We're out of here.
Melvin Purvis.
Peace.
Love.
Hey, Mel. Melvin Purvis was a beast.
Yes, he was.